Today's episode is brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. With the NFL playoffs in full swing, make sure to check out the Ringer NFL Show. Each week, the Ringer's Robert Mays, Kevin Clark, and Danny Kelly break down everything you need to know about the NFL postseason. You can subscribe to the Ringer NFL Show on iTunes by going to iTunes.com/The Ringer or find it wherever you get podcasts. Welcome to the Ringer NBA Show. I'm Chris Vernon. Joining me today from TheRinger.com is Shay Serrano. What up, Shay?
What up, homie?
Late last night with this Thunder Warriors game going on, and you wrote for the website, is the Thunder Warriors even a rivalry anymore? Let's go through these. Well, first of all, your overall thoughts on what took place last night.
I thought it was exactly what was going to happen. The Thunder are never going to beat the Warriors. So you have to just watch those games looking for the little tiny interactions that happen in between the beginning and the end. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so before the game started, people wanted to know what Russell Westbrook would wear to the game, because the last time he wore that photographer's outfit, really not a spectacular Russell Westbrook outfit last night.
No, it wasn't super great. But, you know, I think that was the point this time. I think he knew. He made a point of it the first game to like wear something, very obviously taking a shot at Kevin Durant. This time, I think he's going the opposite direction now. I think he's doing the whole just not going to acknowledge anything about anything ever again. And there you go.
Well, that story comes out before the game. I loved the headline. It says Durant and Westbrook, quote, not on speaking terms. What do you make of the fact that they will not speak to each other?
I think it's fantastic. I really like when people in the NBA are mad at other people in the NBA. It just makes things more interesting, mostly because you're allowed to just inject meaning into like whatever you want. Like, for example, when he showed up to the game, he was like always wearing shredded jeans. Oh, those jeans represent his and Durant's relationship now. Like, you can just do whatever you want when people are mad at the other person. So I love it. It's great. I'm glad they're not friends.
And then we got the one clip before that they kept showing over and over where it's like him staring a hole through the back of Durant as he's warming up. So at least the TV, they gave us a little something where it was like, all right, these guys really hate each other. And that cameraman got the money shot of Westbrook staring him down from behind. All right, let's go through
it's
these.
The one, same as that picture of him staring at the MVP trophy. Like, it's that same look. I love it.
All right, let's go through these one by one.
I'm a big fan of Westbrook staring at the guy.
That needs to be a thing, right? Just Westbrook staring at things.
Yeah, that should be a TV. That should be a 30-minute TV show on ABC. He's just staring at things in the background.
At the very least, a Tumblr.
Something.
Yeah. Just Westbrook staring at things. Surely somebody that's listening to us can start that up, and we will give it our full support. All right, let's go to the questions that came out of last night. Are the Warriors Kevin Durant's team yet? I mean, they do have the two-time MVP on that team, but do you think we're going to look up and think this is Durant's team?
I not in the near future, no. It's becoming harder to make the argument that it's not his team, given that he's playing better than Curry this year. He's got higher points, higher rebounds, higher PER, higher VORP, higher VP. Like, his numbers are just better. But I think philosophically, it won't be his team until he either A, just goes absolutely nuts in the playoffs over like a 2-year period, 3-year period, like what LeBron did with the Heat. Where it was like, he still feels like Dwayne Wade's team, even though we know LeBron's a better player, until like 2012, maybe?
Right.
When he just started going apeshit against everybody and be like, okay, you know what? It's time to change it. So I think something like that has happened. I think he's got to go nuclear for 2 straight seasons and win 2 championships, or Steph has to leave. One of those 2 things has to happen for that to be the case.
Zaza Pachulia flooring Russell Westbrook last night before halftime. And then you wrote about the Cantor basically non-response.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I could believe it because he's Enos Cantor, but I still was like, what's happening right now? Why is this man just standing over my Rusty and nobody doing anything? Somebody run up and hit this man, please. I mean, let's not fight, but you got to shove him. There's no way if we flip that Steven Adams knocks Steph Curry down and stands over him and fucking David West doesn't come running off the bench and drop kick him. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's got to do something there.
Do you think that speaks to the way his teammates feel about him? Or do you think they're just wussies?
No, I think that there's just nobody in that role in that moment. Steven Adams wasn't at the game. He would have done something, I'm sure.
He would have.
But by most accounts, those guys really like Russell Westbrook, from what I've been told. So, you know, they didn't want to see that happen. They wanted to do something, but you got guys who just aren't built for that response.
What does it say about Pachulia?
Oh, it says that he's fantastic. He knows exactly what his job is. He's going to do his job. That wasn't a surprise. If I would have told you, hey, somebody last night clobbered Russell Westbrook and then stood over his court, you'd be like, oh, so Jaja had a pretty good game then. Like, that's just how that's his role.
The whole standing over him is the most ridiculous part of it, right? Because it was like, it is as if to say, this was not an accident. I totally meant to floor you.
Yeah, it was great. It was the best moment of the whole game. It was finally some tension.
All right, you can never foresee a circumstance where the Thunder ever actually beat the Warriors.
No, they're just not. They have, I don't know. Out of 8 positions, the Warriors are better at 7 of them. Probably all 8 of them. I don't know, so there's no chance.
All right. You contemplated why Anthony Roberson never shoots the ball, or really, actually, forget why he doesn't. You asked the question, is it possible he's not allowed to?
Yeah, I don't, and it's not that I don't think he's allowed to. I don't know that he knows he's allowed to. Like, I think he just doesn't know he can shoot it. And there you go. I always feel so bad for him when he gets the ball. Like last night, they threw the ball to him at the 3-point line, and Draymond Green just said, "Yo, okay, cool," and then he just walked away. Like, he straight up just walked away from him. He was 15, 20 feet, and Roberson is just standing there waiting for somebody else to do something. And it was like my heart was breaking for poor Roberson because he just won't shoot it, and I don't get it.
All right, the other one I get
it because he's not very good at shooting, but it still hurts my feelings.
It does. It hurts your feelings. The other thing from last night's game was the whole talking point thing with Westbrook and Durant, and who's going to give in first. So what do we think? Who is going to extend the olive branch? If Durant and Westbrook become on speaking terms again, it is because of who?
Of Durant. He's got to do it. He was the one who screwed up the situation. And I don't mean he screwed up like he left. You want to leave to another team, that's perfectly fine. But you can't, like, tell your homie you're leaving over a text message. So he did that part wrong. So he's got to be the guy to reach out. Same as when you say something wrong to your wife or your boyfriend or whatever. Like, you have to be the one to open that up.
If that
I think
never
Westwood would die before he talks to Kevin Durant again.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to ask you. Let's say that never takes place. Will Russell Westbrook go to his grave without speaking to him?
He will gladly go to his grave without talking to Durant. And he'll never acknowledge the fact that he never acknowledged him either. And it'll be great.
What I hope is there's like some kind of reunion, right? Like 20 years down the road, there's some reunion. Or like they do this 100 best players ever, 50 greatest players ever, and they have to be around each other. Like, they still haven't spoken in 20 years. And then it's like, it comes to a head where they have to do like a good old times, interview with each other. Like, that's going to happen, right?
I hope so. You know what I'm really excited for? The All-Star game, because they're going to be in there together. I was playing in a basketball game, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, And there was a guy on the team who I just hated. I had never met him before, but after like 10 minutes, I decided I fucking hate this person so much. He just was a bad basketball player to have on your team, like this kind of guy. He wouldn't pass the ball. He was always doing all this. He just would never, ever pass the ball. So I'm yelling at him during the game, like telling him to pass the ball, whatever. We're like really getting into it. And then finally, after like 20 minutes, he decides he's going to start passing it. And so every time that he would pass it to me, rather than catch it, I would just move out of the way and it would go tumbling out of bounds. And I would never catch the ball if he threw it. I'm like, nah, fuck you. I'm never going to touch the ball after you touch it. I hope that something like that happens during the All-Star game, where they're like swinging the ball around and Durant throws it to Westbrook and he's just like, nope. And he steps out the way and goes, I hope they just keep doing that over and over again. That would make me so happy.
So in the All-Star game with Durant, I forgot about that because that's inevitable. They're both going to be there and they're both going to be on the court together.
Yep. It will happen. Yeah. Yeah. I hope they both start.
And you want Westbrook to just jump out of the way. When Durant's like just going to swing the ball around and then he throws it to Westbrook and he just jumps out the way.
Just move. Don't even touch it. No, I'm not touching that ball. And then just runs back on defense.
Other big story last night, at least the ones that were getting passed around the most, were the surging 76ers and Joel Embiid. And did you see this where the whole Philly crowd was chanting trust the process and he was like waving his hands up like a wrestler?
Yeah, it's fantastic watching this happen. I'm so happy for Sixers fans to finally get a little bit of basketball happiness.
There's nobody more fun than him going right now, right?
Not a single person.
Can you fathom anybody else in the middle of two free throws, backing off of the line and then like doing the whole get up, you know, like chant louder, like putting his hand up. Hey, like, is there anybody else in the league that would like cup their hand up to their ear like Hulk Hogan and then like, you know, try to rile up the crowd? I'm trying to think. Maybe Draymond.
I think he's too mean to doing that like that. Because all the stuff Embiid is doing, it just feels happy and fun and free. That's what I feel. I feel freedom when I'm watching Joel Embiid get the ball in the low post. With Draymond, it just feels like there's always a touch of angry in there. So I don't know that I could see him doing that.
What about J.R. Smith? He's pretty goofy.
Yeah, he is pretty goofy, but he's an NBA champion now. He's a little more serious.
Yeah, he's changed since he got the ring. Well, he's been injured, so we haven't gotten to see him. But I could, if J.R. Smith did it, that would not be the most ridiculous thing I can imagine.
No, it wouldn't. It would not be ridiculous at all.
All the All-Star voting is done, and so that'll be announced rather soon. In fact, it's going to be announced tonight. Who do you want to see? Is there a... Most people think, everybody knows who it's going to be in the Western Conference. I think it's going to be Kawhi Leonard and Durant, more than likely Anthony Davis. And then you'll have Westbrook and Harden or Curry if he wins the vote, depending upon those. But it'll be between those three. In the Eastern Conference, it really seems like the second guard is the biggest thing up for debate. Like, it'll probably be Kyrie Irving and then whoever's next to him. Who do you want? You got like Wall, Lowry, DeRozan, Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, out of those guys, I need Isaiah Thomas.
I do too.
I need him above everybody else in the All-Star game. If you let him in there and he plays significant minutes, he's going to put up 40 points. He's walking away with All-Star MVP if he gets a chance.
Him and Embiid are the two guys it seems like everybody wants to see.
Yeah, they're fans. They're just great, man. They're so much fun, and they feel like they're not tainted yet. They're just out there balling, and it's great to watch.
All right, we'll get right back to it. First, a quick word from our sponsor. Today's episode of the Ringer NBA Show is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Upgrade your day with Dunkin' Donuts DD Perks on the Dunkin' Donuts mobile app. There's a bunch of benefits with DD Perks. The first being that you earn a free beverage just by enrolling. It also has on-the-go ordering, so you can order ahead from your phone, speed past the line, in the store, and go. DD Perks members also enjoy special offers. You can even choose to pay right from your phone with the Dunkin' app. DD Perks, everyone deserves an upgrade. Download the Dunkin' app and enroll today. Speeding past the line may not be possible at all locations. Visit ddperks.com for terms and conditions. All right, Shea Serrano, I asked you if you would come up with five non-obvious guys that you love in the NBA, or ones that got people that are listening might be surprised that you like. Who'd you come up with?
All right, my five guys. This is not a surprise because he plays for the Spurs, but give me Davis Bertans, the big Latvian kid he's just big and redheaded, and I love him. I wasn't paying any real attention to him until his game in December when he got into a shoving match with like Michael Beasley or somebody like that, and he got ejected. It was the first time anybody had been ejected on the Spurs since even Jackson did it like in 2012 or something like that. So I love this kid. I love anybody who gets ejected. I love to see a Spurs player push somebody else. It's just great. I don't know how great he is at basketball, whatever. That's not important to me. I'm excited about him. So he's my first guy.
Davis Bertans from the San Antonio Spurs. He is playing, appears to be 9.8 minutes a game and is averaging 3 points a game. That's perfect. That's a good one. I had no idea that you would like Davis Bertans.
I love him. I care about him so much. He's a Spurs player, and I just love him. Another one, maybe a little bit surprising because he plays for the Rockets, but give me Patrick Beverley. He's one of my favorite players to watch. We get to go to quite a few Rockets games. My buddy works for the Rockets. So he's like, you want these tickets? You want these? It's like this relationship. But he's my favorite player to watch at a game because he is just such a fucking nuisance to whoever he's around. And it's great. He like very clearly wants the other people to hate him. He started calling himself the best defender in the league this year, which maybe isn't that far off if we're just talking about perimeter guys. He's just always pushing and pinching and pulling and getting in the way and like throwing his arms around a little bit. And it's just, and he got a haircut, and I was really excited about his haircut. So give me Pat Bev.
You know, it was a couple of weeks ago I was watching him, and I said to somebody at a game, there's sometimes with these guys, you feel like they're fake tough guys. And that if shit really went down, that they wouldn't be, they're good talking on the court. But then somebody told me, they're like, no. Beverly is the real deal. Like, he's from Chicago streets. I'm serious. They were like, if something went down, you want him around. He's like legit from hardcore Chicago, and he's not to be trifled with. And I was like, really? Because he does kind of piss everybody off and then smile about it. And so you wonder, like, if somebody was going to throw hands, is he going to be around for it? But I was told he's like legit hardcore.
Yeah, there's no question about it in Houston. I would not be surprised if I saw him like at Luby's, in the parking lot at Luby's. I'm like, what up, Pat Bev? And he just was standing there holding like a baseball bat with a nail, like hammered through it, just like hanging out with that. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just got a trunk full of baseball bats with nails hammered through them, just because, like, that's the kind of guy he is. And it's great. Those are my favorite kind of guys in the NBA, I think. The guys that just, like him, or maybe he is the extension of, like, the spirit of Vernon Maxwell, who was another crazy, just Rocket guard. I just loved him.
You need to do that list though sometime, right? Guys that you could see having a baseball bat with a nail through them.
Yeah. There's a whole gang of them in the NBA. It's him, David West, and like two other guys probably.
All right, Davis Bertans, Patrick Beverley, guys that Shea Serrano likes that we wouldn't necessarily expect. Who else?
Give me Gerald Green for the Celtics. He's just like this grasshopper of a human, and everybody knows he's super great at dunking. But this is the first year that he's gotten to play like a decent amount of minutes on a decent team. I think over the last however many games, 12 games or something, he's finally playing more than 10 or 15 minutes a game. and he's been sort of showing out. So he's been cool to root for, because there was a few, there was like a year or two where you weren't sure if he was going to stick around in the NBA. Everybody sort of knew his name from the dunk contest, so you would catch glimpses of him during the season of actual games. But now he's like, he's got a for real role on a for real team, and it's, that's like a good story for your heart. You know what I'm saying?
You like the Gerald Green story. He was in the D League, for goodness sakes. I mean, he was a big time pick, and then but next thing you know, he's in the D League playing on I remember like one All-Star weekend, I was flipping around and NBA TV was running like, you know, D League All-Star weekend. I'm like, damn, man, there's Gerald Green. So he did. He fixed he fixed everything. It took a little while, but he's made a career for himself.
Yeah, and those stories are always cool to see. You like the guys that sort of fight through it. So I'm rooting for him. So I've got Pat Bev, Bertrand, Gerald Green, number four, and we talked about him earlier, and we watched him last night. But Roberson, Andre Roberson, I care about him deeply. I really, there was one year where he just destroyed the Spurs. I think it was last year, matter of fact. And I say destroyed in that he had like 17 points in one game. And I was like, Andre Roberson scoring 17 points is like if Durant put up 86 points in a game. It was incredible to watch. So ever since then, I've sort of been watching him and rooting for him. And I believe he's actually from San Antonio, if I'm not mistaken. I feel like a dad when I'm watching him, and I want to see him do well, and he keeps screwing up. So he's my fourth pick.
This is what upset you last night. See, I didn't know you had any particular interest in Roberson, which I always call him Anthony, which is the kid that used to play at Florida 100 years ago. But Andre Roberson, yeah. I didn't know that you had an interest in him. But then last night, that's why you were kind of pissed off that he wasn't ever shooting the ball.
Yeah, and it was not even a pissed off thing. I was just sad for him. I was disappointed because I want to see him do well. I'm really rooting for him. I want him to make it because he's great at everything else, but he just won't shoot it. So fingers crossed for that.
Davis Bertrands, Patrick Beverley, Gerald Green, Andre Roberson, and the fifth guy that you like that we would not necessarily expect that you would like.
I'm gonna cheat here because he doesn't even play in the NBA and it's a very specific thing. But over like the last 3 weeks, I've been on a very big 1988 Isaiah Thomas kick. I happened to watch the 1988 NBA Finals a few weeks ago. And then ever since then, I've just sort of been in love with him. He was fantastic. I knew he was good. But in 1988, I was 7 years old, whatever. I didn't start paying attention to the NBA till like middle school. And by that point, he was gone or he just wasn't what he was. And I've just been watching these old games. And of course, you hear his name or you see him on TV and people are always, Isaiah Thomas, greatest, one of the greatest point guards, blah, 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 blah. And it's easy to just, you take that into your system and it doesn't mean anything. But to actually watch him play in those games, that was a year when he put up 25 in the third quarter of game six after he'd sprained his ankle. And it was just incredible to watch this play out. So I really am in love with 1988 Isaiah Thomas.
Well, and the crazy thing is, right, because it almost feels like if Isaiah Thomas would have never played, if he would have never gotten into a job with basketball, everything about him would be different. I do think he would be things would feel different about him if he didn't, like, you know, he had the sexual assault scandal and the sexual harassment thing that went on in New York, and he had the failure in New York management wise, and then he like went and became a college coach. And I know he's on NBA TV and stuff now, but like, it was like he was such a big deal off the court for so long. It's almost like it messed up the memory of him, right? Which was like this ridiculously awesome player.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very fair assessment of the situation.
Yeah. Well, plus the other thing is, right, he was awesome. He was like kind of like the guy the other guys hated because Jordan, like, remember, like stabbed, like made sure he wasn't on the dream team and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, yeah, nobody... there's so many neat storylines there. And it's just so interesting to see. I think maybe that's another part of the reason I like it, because you've got this one level of like legendary figures like Jordan Bird and Magic. Like, that's the top level of these guys. And Isaiah has never been able to get up there, even though he super desperately wanted to be included in all of that. And it just never happened for him. And I don't understand why, if you're just watching basketball, but I think all of the behind-the-scenes stuff, they sort of explained it. But yeah, 1988, he was not playing. And they lost the finals. Excuse me. They lost the finals that year. And that game six, they were up 3-2 in the series. And he put up those 25 points in the third quarter. He sprained his ankle, whatever. He just went nuts, like 40-something and double-digit assists. And it was an incredible game. And they lost by one on this phantom foul call on Laimbeer. And Abdul-Jabbar made the two free throws to give him the one-point lead, and they won. And then they lost in game seven because Isaiah was too hobbled. So it's just a great – I like those sort of tragic stories like that where they lost. And then they came back in 89 and 90, and they won those 2 years. But still, 88 was like – I think that was probably his greatest year if I had to put the title to it.
Well, and the crazy thing is, right, that you were saying, like, he's never really in that class with the other guys, yet – unlike, say, like Malone, Stockton, Ewing, whoever, like he got his ring, like he won titles, and like there's like a boneyard full of unbelievable players that like the reason they didn't win is because of Jordan. Well, like they beat Jordan, like straight up,
yeah,
they beat him.
Yeah, the year they won, I think they went through like all three of them. Eventually, they beat the Celtics. I'm not sure they beat the Celtics actually. I know they beat the Lakers. I know they beat the Bulls. It's just crazy, a crazy run. Here's the thing that I was thinking about, and maybe you'll have an answer for me. So they lost in 88, and then they won in 89 and 90. So let me ask you two questions. You've been asking me all these goddamn questions. Here's the first question for you. If they win in 88 and he three-peats instead of just goes back-to-back, does he leapfrog up into that conversation? Bird had three titles. If Isaiah gets three and they come as a three-peat, making them only like the third team ever to three-peat, does he become a part of that conversation? Second question, if he had the chance, do you think Isaiah Thomas would swap his 88 title for his 89 title? And the only reason I'm asking those ones is because in 88 he got hurt and they should have won that year. In 89, they played the Lakers again and Byron Scott was hurt. He didn't play the series at all. Magic Johnson pulled his hamstring in like the beginning of game two, so he missed the rest of that game and almost all of three and all of four. So you could argue they could have lost that year. So I wonder if he could.
So, yeah, on
go
the
back,
first one,
switch those two.
On the first one, yes, you're in a totally different class if you get three in a row. Totally different class. If you three-peated, and I think, you know, two in a row obviously puts you in rarefied air, but it's been done, right? And mm-hmm. But doing it 3 years in a row is damn near impossible. I mean, you saw it with we saw what happened with the Heat, you know, and like you're just gonna lose at some point, right? Like, I mean, even if you've got a totally awesome team, we even saw with the Warriors last year. Shit, they won 73 games and lost, right? I mean, it's just super hard to do. So I do think, yes, if you win three, it puts you in a way different conversation. I don't think you would trade 88 for 89 because don't you want to go back to back? I'd want to go back to back. I'd at least because I do think that even like that puts your team in a different conversation too, right? Like those bad boy Pistons going back to back, like it's still pretty hard to do that. And winning two in a row, I think, would be more important to me than winning, losing, winning.
Right. Well, I don't know. He just
seems
sort of like a selfish person. So I thought maybe he would want that lore of winning that game six with a hurt ankle and going nuts over their 89 title, which has always been a little bit suspect.
Don't you think he still got the lore? I mean, hell, you're bringing it up on a fucking podcast in 2016. I mean, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know how we got here.
It's 2007, 2017, and to your point about wouldn't you worry about the lore? You just named 1988 Isaiah Thomas as one of the five guys we would be surprised you're interested in.
Yeah. You're right. All right, you got me. You're right.
I think he did pretty good for himself. All right. Speaking of 20 years ago, it might be longer than that, when one of the great basketball movies, White Men Can't Jump, was made. There is a report, Shay, that White Men Can't Jump is getting remade. Now, you do a lot on pop culture, movies, etc. This is like the intersection of everything, Shay Serrano. It really is. So I had to get your thought. Like, I feel like I saw this and my immediate reaction was, no, dude, don't mess with this movie. do not mess with this movie. But I feel like you might have different ideas about how it could be good, or no. Am I wrong about this?
I think there's a natural recoil there when you hear that they're remaking that movie. And I think that's the number one best basketball movie of all time. It's just perfect. All of the pieces are perfect. Wesley's perfect. Woody's perfect. It's just all great. Everybody in that movie was exactly what they needed to be for it to be an iconic movie. So, yes, of course, you don't want to see them redo it, but that's in that same tone. I think you also kind of do want to see them redo it just to see how bad it's going to be, for one. I think it's going to be bad. But two, the person that's in charge, Kenya Barris, who's like overseeing everything, he's the guy who got everything moving. That's the same guy who made the TV show Black-ish. And I don't know if you watch Black-ish or not, but it has turned itself into like one of the three or four best shows on TV right now. So I can't just automatically say I don't want to see it, because he has proven himself as being like a phenomenal writer and able to sort of gather these moments into a bigger thing. So he might be able to pull it off. If somebody could do it, I trust him. I'm sad that Blake Griffin is involved. I think that he doesn't have that credential yet. I don't think he has the weight to pull something like that off. But just off the strength of Kenya Barris, I'm gonna say go for it. You know what I'm saying?
You're giving it a chance. I can't believe this.
Yeah. And you know, I did the same thing when they remade Kickboxer. I said, well, let's just hear him out. And it was fucking awful. So the same thing is probably going to happen. It was really just terrible. But let's give it a try. Like, what's the harm, really?
All right, is there any movie that you would stand, like, that you would go to a war over? That you are not remaking this. You're not doing it. Like, is there anything sacred to you?
You know what? I don't think it's a thing about being sacred. I think if you've got a movie that you just really super love, I love White Men Can't Jump. If we're putting together a list of our favorite movies of all time, it's on my top three. So I love it. It is, and it is an unquestionably iconic movie for me. But I don't see the harm in it being remade, because there are only two things that can happen if you remake something great like that. Number one, it surprises you and it's actually good and cool. We got another version of this movie that younger people are going to get to see. That's option one. Or option two is it's really, really bad and it's really terrible and you can't believe that they made it. But the first one just gets boosted up even higher off of that. Like, oh, this will never be better than the original. Like, that's cool for the original, and that's cool for all the guys involved in the original. And it's cool for me to be able to have that, like, oh, that validation that this movie actually was good.
Okay.
So I'm not super against it.
No. I never watched The Karate Kid, like the one with Jaden Smith. Where are we at on that? Is it good, terrible? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Oh, man, it's good. It's
okay,
good.
Well,
it's surprisingly good.
Oh, it is good. Okay, well, see, this is the example I was going to give. I've never watched it, right? Because I loved Ralph Macchio. I had I acted like I lived in a dojo when I was a kid, whatever. And every time I see the Karate Kid on, I get excited. I flip it on, and it's that version. I'm like, oh, forget this. I get excited that it's going to be the Ralph Macchio thing, and then it's not. So that is the other pitfall of making a remake.
Yeah, there is that. The same
but
thing happens with Red Dawn. Yeah, you should watch it. It's really good. They changed just enough of it for it to not feel like a ripoff. They gave, I mean, it's the kids are younger.
You've got, you know, we've got Jaden versus Ralph. Like, it's just a cooler, it's a cool movie, man. And they did a good job. But the weird part is that since the kids are so young, they're like middle school age, early middle school. At the end, the sensei of the main bad kid tells him to break his leg. Like, oh shit, you want him to break a sixth grader's leg? Like, in this comic, like that was a heavy moment. And you panicked a little bit. You thought he was really going to break his leg. But it was good, man. You should check it out.
It felt a little more reasonable when it was high school kids.
Yeah, it was like, okay, cool. Like, I can watch a 10th grader get beat up a little bit. But you're watching a 6th grader get beat up. And like, maybe this isn't a good idea that we let this happen. Overall, it's cool.
Is there still a Miyagi? Is the guy's name Miyagi or no?
Nah, he has a different name.
Oh, it's not.
They all have different names in there. Yeah, like Jaden isn't Daniel. Daniel's son in it. Jackie Chan plays a new Miyagi. Yeah.
Jackie Chan does?
A really cool storyline. Yeah, Jackie Chan does. And he's really good. His whole thing was his wife and his kid were killed in a car crash. And so the whole movie, they show him like working on this car. And he spends the whole year rebuilding this car and making it beautiful. And then on the anniversary of the car crash, he just breaks down and he smashes it with like a sledgehammer or some shit like that. And then he spends the whole rest of the year rebuilding it again. And then he gets real drunk and he smashes it on the anniversary. And like, that's his life. And it's a really sad moment when it all comes together and you realize what's going on.
That's the great storyline.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, it was a serious movie in that moment. I think you're a little bit surprised that he's such a good actor because you're used to him like, you're used to seeing him use like a trash can as a weapon or something in a movie. And then all of a sudden he's this fantastic dramatic actor and you're just like bawling in the movie theater watching him break down. And it's surprising, man. Check it out. Go watch it.
I'm going to watch it. I am. I'm going to give it a chance. Next time I see your daughter, I'm going to give it a chance based upon your recommendation. All right. So I'm terrified of the white men can't jump thing, even though, by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. You said White Men Can't Jump would be in your top three. Was that just like a random hyperbolic statement or do you have like a top three?
No, it's really in there. My number one movie is Blood In, Blood Out. The Mexican prison drama movie, whatever. Number two is White Men Can't Jump. And then number three, I can sort of alternate between a few different movies. Maybe Bloodsport. I really loved Bloodsport and it was an important movie to me. But one and two, yeah, White Man Can't Jump and Blood In, Blood Out. Give me those two movies.
Is Blood In, Blood Out on Netflix?
No, but it's on YouTube, the whole movie. It's a 3-hour movie, but it's all on YouTube.
Good grief, 3 hours?
Three hours, bro, and it's worth it.
It's where your avatar.
I've seen that.
Has to search like, where your avatar, your Twitter avatar, and... The amount of people that think that that's you on the Twitter avatar is the most hysterical thing ever.
Yeah, now, it always. The only people who always know it's not me are other Mexican people. They're like, "Oh, Miklo, what's happening?" Blah blah blah. Because we know that's like our version of the movie Bible is Blood In, Blood Out. But yeah, white people, black people, Asian people, they're super surprised when they see me in real life. Like, oh shit, that's not you.
You're not the guy from Blood In, Blood Out.
I'm not the guy from Blood In, Blood Out, unfortunately.
Last thing, you put up a story last weekend. Speaking of dramatic moments, you put up a story on Twitter about your son defeating you in basketball with a Pokemon ball. Now, you have a goal, like one of these little goals that you put on the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got...
Yeah, that's right.
And you say he dunked on you, he defeated you in said game, and then it kind of felt like you were blaming it on the ball. It's kind of like you were blaming it on the Pokemon ball rather than maybe, you know, this was a moment. this was a moment where you got beat by your kid and you got to kind of own up to it.
Yeah, you know what it is. I'm on my Russell Westbrook shit right now. After the game, when they talked to him about Zaza hitting him, he's like, "I'm gonna get his ass back." that's what's up. Like, that's how I feel right now about this game. Yeah, we were playing. He asked if I wanted to play one-on-one. So I have three kids. Of those three, he's maybe the most aggressive and, like, wanting to prove that he's the man of the house, I guess. So he's always, like, challenging me to shit. So he asked me if I wanted to play him one-on-one on their little basketball goal. They don't have a real basketball for it. It's a plush Pokemon ball, a Pokeball is what it's called, turns out. But it's not just like a normal plush ball. There's a weight in there. There's like a little beanie bag so that it bounces when you throw it or something goofy like that. So you can't just shoot a normal shot. You have to like hold it in the exact right position. If you don't, it just shoots off to the side, like it curves on some knuckleball shit. So yeah, I was super surprised by that. And he was ready for it. He's throwing it 3 feet to the right and then it's curving around and splashing in like magic. So I was like, when we started, whatever, I'm going to back him down. I'm going to dunk on him. I'm going to try to shoot these shots. But he got hot and he made a couple of shots in a row. And so he tied the game up at 7. And then he threw up these like two prayers and they both went in back to back without me like able to block it. And I'm now at this point, it's 7-7 and I don't want to lose. So I'm for real trying now. I'm like in a defensive stance. In his bedroom with my forearm in his chest, like this sort of thing. And he just splashes two of them over me. And he's feeling himself at this point. His brother's watching up on the bunk bed. And they're like talking shit to each other. Oh, that's my dog. And so he makes those two. And he takes a 9-7 lead. And then he misses a shot. And I go to get the rebound. And the ball squirts out of my fingers because of that goofy weight. And he picks it up real fast, and I turn around to like, oh, shit, he's got the ball. And by the time I turn around, he's already in the air, and his, like, chest is in my face. And he just dunks it on me. And we had to fight after that. Like, I was really ready to – I was like, no, this is – like, I'm trying to think up of a rule. Like, you didn't take it back. You didn't check, the, like, something, anything to save me, and there's nothing. And so, yeah. So I haven't talked to him since then. That was a week ago. I haven't talked to him since then.
The humiliation of this moment where you get defeated by your kid. Was this the first time you'd been defeated by your kid at anything?
It was the first time I didn't let him win and he won. I was taking it easy in the beginning, but then by the end of the game, yeah, I wanted to win. And it was the first time I wasn't able to do it. And it was like this perfect confluence of circumstances where he just lucked his way into this victory. I'll never give him credit for it ever. I'll never ever say that he just beat me straight up, but he did. So yeah, so now, it was the first time it happened for
real. So like let's say this afternoon, right? He comes home from school or whatever and he's like, Dad, do you want to play basketball on the hoop?
Yeah, I'm ready. I've been practicing every day that he goes to school. I'm shooting like 80% now with the Pokeball. I'm ready because I can't have him holding that over my head forever. He's like walking around calling me by my first name and shit, and that's just not. I don't like it. I'm not. Like he's telling me to get him a juice, Daddy. Get me a juice, and I just get up because he beat me, and I don't want. So I'm ready. I'm ready for round two.
Is this one of the twins?
It's one of the twins.
Okay, so does the other twin root for you, or does he root for his brother?
Oh, he very clearly roots for his brother. It's always them two against me. I've never had anybody on my team, unfortunately.
Not even the little one, huh?
Not even the little one. I think the little one hates me more than the other two, which is crazy because I'm like the nicest to him. But no, I don't. I'm alone in this house, Chris. It's not cool.
Shay, good luck with your life.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming on the NBA show.
All right, homie. Appreciate it.
My man. It's going to do it for another NBA show. We will talk to you tomorrow.